May the Lord help us to commence our service with hymn 744. No awful sense we find of sin, the sinful life and sinful heart, no loathing of the plague within, until the Lord that feel impart. But when the Spirit of truth is come, a sinner trembles at his doom. Hymn 744.
Let us read the word of God in the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, the fourth and fifth chapters. The second epistle to the Corinthians, chapters 4 and 5. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, that though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with a house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labour, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he grant us a spirit of prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God Almighty, we beg of thee, do hear us now in heaven, thy dwelling place. Oh, we would come, Lord, help us, bless us that we may come to thee, O Lord, our God, pleading the precious name of Jesus Christ. O God, our Heavenly Father, it is holding absolutely upon the merits of Christ we ever dare to venture to thee, Lord. We know out of Christ almighty power can do nothing but devour. So we plead that name, O God, our Father, the name that thou, the Father, loves to hear thy children plea. O, do grant us to feel access to thee now, to come to thee, to draw near, to come as we must come to the footstool of mercy at the throne of grace. And as we know that the Son of God sitteth on that blood-sprinkled mercy seat at the right hand of the Father, oh, we come pleading now for Jesus' sake, pleading what he has done. And oh, we humbly trust, we feel something of the favour of believing that there, dear Son of God, doth plead for us in heaven's high courts for good. Help us each, Lord, we may come together to the throne of grace. Oh, one said with holy boldness, oh, to come in with holy boldness, though we are of a sinful race. And we're all sinners, Lord, we've got so much we should, we need to, we know we should and do need to confess, to acknowledge it, to come with confession in honesty of feeling our sins, not just naming them, but feeling them. And Lord, thou knowest how thou makest us to feel them, makest us to feel our guilt. But oh, that wonderful word that we've just concluded in reading. Oh, may we have faith, Lord. May faith be active to so lay hold of it, that we may truly feel the favour of it. Do apply it to us, Lord. We may be able to say, with that favour of confidence of faith, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. And oh, as feeling so solemnly guilty as sinners, so vile and undone, Lord, thou knowest how we need thee to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. We need thee to come, Lord, and confirm us again in the things of redemption and pardon, thy wonderful way of blessing souls and preparing souls for heaven, that we are in great need to plead for forgiveness, Lord, that thou wilt bless us to feel the renewing of forgiveness and pardon, those of us who have already experienced it. And if there are any seekers here, Lord, we trust there are, pray that may be, Lord, that are still feeling after thee. And Lord, are there any that are pleading, Lord, do bless me to know. Like one put it, thy pardoning voice, O let me hear. Is this their cry, Lord? Is this their need? Is this what they're in, Lord, tonight? Needing, oh, seeking thee, needing forgiveness, needing pardon, needing to know their sins are forgiven, needing to know that thou dost love them with an everlasting love, needing to know, Lord, that thou hast come to save them and hast done all to save thy church, thy people, and Lord, oh, like one puts it, numbered with them would I be. Now and in eternity, to know the love of God, the love of Christ, to know that thou dost love us and hast given thyself for us, Lord. Bless any soul that is in urgent need of this, or Lord, any that are not so urgent, make them urgent. Oh, make us to be in reality in great need to seek thee earnestly, to know that thou hast loved us with an everlasting love and hast drawn us, brought us. Oh, the reality of being born again. Oh, show it, clear it, give it clear in the view and the experience of thy people. Bless them to know it, to feel it, feel the favour of it, the wonder of it, Lord. Oh, that we may be able to truthfully acknowledge it was not the will of man. My soul's new heavenly birth began. You know, with everyone has been much touched in these last few days, Lord, as we come to pick up the record of the 150 years of Lake and East Chapel, and looking through there and in the photographs in the middle, we come to see the photograph of a godly man, thy servant, pastor of Lakenheath, Enos Hadley, the late Enos Hadley. And oh, how thou hast led us to ponder it. For at Easter time, at Easter 1958, You know, if that dear godly man was so led to speak to me, and Lord, thou didst use it to begin thy work of grace in such a one as me. Lord, oh, we're humble to think of it, to remember it, and to have it brought renewed to us in that profound way. We never thought it would come like that. But Lord, it's what thou hast done. No one trusts we can say by the grace of God I am what I am. And oh, it's very humbling, Lord. And it gives one to especially be an exercise for young souls. For we was a young man then, a young soul. And Lord, there were many young at this time, Lord, the dear young people of the dear people here of Swaversey. They were all in our heart to pray for, Lord, that thou would bless them. Hast thou begun thy work of grace in them? Oh, if they say listening to what one is trying to pray, oh, may it be a question in them, Lord. Is the work of grace begun in me? Am I a concerned soul? Do I know and realise the solemnity of life and death and eternity? You know, if there they went on, Lord, in those days and made eternity a tremendous sound to us. You know, we were listening to a sermon being preached last week, Lord, and there was so much in it of eternity. Eternity, tremendous sound, a guilty soul's a dreadful wound. Oh, we felt it in those days. And oh, Lord, we know many changes have come, many days have passed since then. But thou didst wonderfully set us at gospel liberty later. And oh, we do so much feel to desire to feel and need to feel thy favours again, thy confirming mercies, that it was all of thy grace from first to last. And our burden for souls, Lord, is that there was so work in precious souls. Deal with them in mercy and so cause them to be blessed in the ways we hope one personally knows. For Lord, it's thy salvation every one of thy people shall be brought to know their need of. Oh, we're sinners, we need to be saved. Saved from sin and death and hell and unto heaven to be with thee forever. You know, if the earthly house of our tabernacle will be dissolved, as we have read. You know, if there we come to the word to bring it tonight. Lord, oh, we beg thee, do come tonight and confirm precious souls in their standing. Oh, assure them of their part in the Redeemer's blood. May there be the real earnestness of felt need and exercise for this, for the special grant of heaven to know and bear about that holy pledge of love and pardon. Have their passport to heaven, Lord. Oh, to know the favours of God sealed to us by the Spirit. Oh, and that thy everlasting love is ever toward us. Oh, thy love from everlasting to everlasting for thy people and individual souls blessed and known. Taste redeeming love. This is our exercise, Lord, and our exercise we trust is as thou hast given us, Lord, for thy honour and glory. Oh, Lord, that souls may be blessed and constrained, like we read in the word, the love of Christ constraineth us. May there be this more and more in the church of God, in the church militant, our souls are being prepared for the church triumphant. May we, Lord, bear fruits to thy honour and glory. May we be concerned to bear fruits, Lord, for we know if thou didst set it forth, given to John in that way, I am the true vine and ye are the branches. What a solemn word it is, every branch that beareth fruit, beareth not fruit, he purgeth it, he taketh it away.
But every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Oh, Lord, if thou hast so blessed us, touched us, given us to bear any fruit by thy grace, surely we will desire to bear more. Lord, there's even annually the bearing of fruit on trees of various fruits. Lord, then there's the winter, and then there's the next year, and then there's the looking again for the fruit. But Lord, we know the dangers of the spoiling of the blossom through the frost. And Lord, thou knowest the state of our hearts and souls, Lord, when we're cold and lifeless. And oh, Satan bites, Satan wounds. Oh, we have damage through our own indwelling sin and through Satan's work, doing his worst at times. Thou knowest all. Thou knowest what we feel, Lord, in these things. We do pray thou wilt come, thou dear Lord, and warm our cold hearts with heavenly heat and set our souls on fire. We may know the power of love divine, which all loves excelleth. And we may have the burnings of love in return to thee within us. Help us, Lord, we beg. May it be that in this way we shall have real worship of thee, our triune God, tonight. Thou knowest we desire to worship thee, and pray we may worship in spirit and in truth. Come for this, Lord, to touch cases here and favour them. Melt us, Lord, with gratitude to thee for what thou hast done, and may we be thankful for present and then ask for more. And all too, as we gather, Lord, thou knowest we are burdened in love and prayer for our dear friends, each of them, and especially those that have affliction. And thou knowest especially our dear friends, Lord, our dear friend and brother Benji and his dear one. Thou knowest how they're on our mind every day, many times a day. But Lord, how blessed it was yesterday, Lord, and today. Thou knowest we must try to explain to our friends when we begin the sermon. Lord, we beg thee, so help us in every part of this service, that we may blessedly feel thy presence, Lord, and know thy love in our hearts shed abroad while we're in worship here tonight. Bless every soul. Bless them, favour them, do them good. Feed them, Lord. Oh, favour them with the strengthening of faith, with hope and love. May we be, Lord, so brought to be able, by thy enabling, to extol thee, Lord, to praise thee, our God, to worship, Lord, our God. Oh, do bless thee, Lord, feeling wonders, the wonders of thy grace, the wonders of redeeming love. Seal to dear souls here and those listening in of thy wonderful wonders of thy grace, Lord, wonders of redeeming love. Apply thy word, Lord. Apply the remedy for sin. Oh, sin's within us, all about us, but the remedy is without us. See it in the Saviour's blood. Come, Lord, and apply the remedy to precious souls tonight. Speak pardon, Lord. Seal forgiveness. Set sinners at liberty. Oh, may there be a loosing. Any bonds, Lord? Wonderful theme. Oh, here, there, the Lord has loosed thy people's bonds. Loose him and let him go. Lord, may there be these wonders, thy grace experienced and known and given witness of, that souls may be able to testify what the Lord has done for my soul. So do hear us, Lord. Now know if we continue day by day with much burden for our country, Lord, and the solemn days we're living in, the terrible judgments that thou hast in thy righteous anger sent upon the world. Oh, so few understand. The wicked cannot and shall not understand, do not understand. But the wise shall understand how humbling it is, Lord, if we can, without presumption, acknowledge thou hast made us wise. Oh, wise unto salvation, and wise to understand the truth. And Lord, oh, it's thy people only really who can really, rightly, solemnly confess and express in deep sorrow, sorrow of heart for the sins of our land. Oh Lord, we are so fallen, so degraded by sin. And those in high places, so many do not understand. Oh, they do not acknowledge thy judgments. Thy people are struck with solemn awe at thy judgments. But the leaders of the land, Lord, do not, it seem, to know. Lord, we did have times when there was much prayer put up. Those in high places, even the monarch at the time of the last world war, you know, is calling for prayer. And we think of in other countries, as in America, the way that the president there called the people to pray with him on the day, D-Day. Thou knowest, Lord. And oh, what wonderful victory thou grantest us, Lord, though at great cost. Lord, thou knowest. We seem to have forgotten thy appearing, thy stilling of the waters of the channel. Although 4 days or 5 days, we think it was, for the retreating from Dunkirk. And then there it is, make some wonderful advantage with the fog on the continent on D-Day. Lord, the wonderful appearing that we seem to have forgotten. Oh Lord, may there be those that shall bring it up and make it known. And oh, help us, Lord. We may make some real stand in the things that we feel so concerned for. Help us, Lord. We beg, hear our prayers, hear our confessions. In wrath, remember mercy upon England, Lord. And oh, that we may be brought out of the plague. But Lord, we fear lest thou would send something else. This is how thy people tremble. But Lord, oh, do in wrath remember mercy. We beg thee, Lord. Help us to leave everything now at the foot of the mount and come to the word of truth, Lord, that thou hast so given us, Lord. Sweet way thou gave it, Lord. Help us to preach thy word, Lord, to preach Christ and him crucified, to preach what sinners need. Help us, Lord. May there be the favour of precious souls partaking of the good things of the gospel. Lord, we beg, and thou shalt have all the glory. We pray, we beg for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 339. Oh, my distrustful heart, how small thy faith appears. But greater, Lord, thou art than all my doubts and fears. Did Jesus once upon me shine, then Jesus is forever mine. Hymn 339.
as the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to the fifth chapter that we read, that is in the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 5, and some words in the first verse. The words, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You may think it's strange to hear a text announced like that. The whole verse, of course, is right, we should read. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You might think, well, how does the servant of God come to bring such a word like that, just naming, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens? Well, I'm an old man now and not got much strength, but I try to do a few little jobs. And one has been doing a few little jobs this week, trying to kind of strengthen up our garden shelter. Some people would call it a summer house, perhaps. We tend to call it a garden shelter. And I was thinking of this, thinking of the name summer house, and doing this work and putting these brackets on there and strengthening it by extra pieces of wood and putting in a lot of screws. And I have to do a little, and then I sit down and I sit and look at what I've been doing. And sitting looking at what I've been doing, looking at all these screws. And I thought, I know I've got to leave them. I know I've got to leave this house, this summer house or this shelter. May not be long before I have to leave it. We can take nothing out of this world. We're interested in things. God gives us much good things, provides for us. And in the way of natural diligence, we do want to leave the world a better place than what it was when we came into it, really. And like of all our possessions, leaving them to loved ones and so on. And I was thinking of all these things, but it kept coming, friends. You can't take it out of this world. You've got to leave it. You've got to leave your all below. But it seems so sweet as it come like this, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We have so much interest in our natural houses, our houses where we dwell, and thinking of it more closely, your body, friends. My body. The Word of God says, know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Oh, we have our bodies. And you know the earthly house of this tabernacle, in a sense, in a wonderful sense, and yet a solemn sense. It's our bodies. The tabernacle of clay, it's acknowledged in another place. You know, this is how we are, friends. We're living, inhabiting our bodies. Well, you say, well, and I think of it like this, well, we consider it like this. How is it we're inhabiting our bodies? Our soul, friends. Oh, the inhabitant in the body is the soul. Everyone possesses an immortal soul. And our soul will live forever. solemnly we have to know and consider it.
According to the truth of the word of God, our souls will live forever,
either in heaven or hell. And perhaps we ought to mention it and speak of it either in hell or heaven, because we all deserve hell. Has he shown you that you deserve to be cast into hell? The word of God says the wicked shall be cast into hell with all nations that forget God. Has God showed you that you have a wicked heart, that you are inhabiting your house, this house, earthly house of this tabernacle? You're inhabiting it and you've got that wicked heart and nature. Has God convicted you of this, shown you this? And this is what you have to realise and know more and more, that you're inhabiting a body of sin and death, a sinful body. You are living in a sinful body. And the earthly house of this tabernacle, and it says here, we know that if, and the word if is not a question in if, it's a statement. And we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, eternal in the heavens. Now, do we know this? And it will be dissolved. And do we know it? Here the apostle, with the confidence of faith, is led to make this statement by the Spirit of God. And we know that if the earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Do we know it? Because this must be as to and for and relating to the people of God. It's not the worldly wise. It's not the dead professor. It's the true-born child of God who knows this. Paul knew it, of course, and he had confidence of faith as regarding these Corinthians. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, do we know this, friends? Can we acknowledge like the apostle does? Have we surely, truly been brought by the teaching of the Spirit of God to know this? None can know it without the Spirit. None can know it without God's divine teaching, his work in them, his beginning in them, his dealing with them. Are you among the favoured characters that Paul seems, as it were, to embrace in the way he's led to write? And we know. Are we able to say this, friends? Are you able to say this? And we know. Can we say it here together without presumption in Swavesey Chapel? And we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, and it will be, it will come to that, we have a building of God not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is what he makes his people to be by grace, saves them, makes them. He forms a people for his praise. He builds his church even in troublous times. He brings his people to acknowledge together. We know. And he favours his people. It's his appearing that brings them to know the favours of his love, of his grace. For we know. And oh, friends, as we live in this vale of tears, as we go on in tribulation, as we go on in the pilgrimage journey, we are journeying on and we're journeying fast across the sea of time.
You know how it is with us, and some, of course, are taken earlier, some later, longer years. Oh, we have it in the 90th Psalm, the days of life of 80 years and 10. If by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength, labour and sorrow, but we are soon cut off and we fly away. Oh, how we have such statements, and we all do fade as a leaf. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, the flower falleth away, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So, friends, for we know, but particularly dwelling upon, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For this tabernacle were dissolved, the house of this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Of course, it's that eternal weight of glory which is laid up for God's people. But I think of it to come to this carefully, and as God may lead us and help us. You see, this house not made with hands, it's God the Father's house. You know how we have those wonderful words in John 14. Oh, how there the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Think of it, friends. They're all God's dear children, the dear pilgrims in Zion. Some with affliction. Oh, much affliction. Some knowing that they're coming down to their end. But oh, think of him. What thy Saviour has said. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. It's God the Father's house. And the Son of God will be in that house. He's gone to prepare a place. He's coming again. And he will be there forever. And worship forever. And you forever with him, forever with the Lord. Oh, you pray, you say, you acknowledge, you plead it. Amen. So let it be for each of us, is our heart's desire. May the grace of God so be manifest in us each. God's saving grace, that we may know we are being prepared to be with God forever in glory, and to know and enter into that eternal weight of glory laid up for all those that by the grace of God are brought to love the Lord, and the Lord loves them, and we love him because he first loved us. And house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, every one of God's dear people have this prospect, this blessed hope. They are brought to have it by grace, by God's dealings with them, God's working in them, God's teaching them, God's preparing them here on earth for this habitation in glory. Oh, the wonderful, I think of the theme, it comes in, blessed inhabitants of Zion, washed in the Redeemer's blood. Jesus, who thy souls rely on, makes thee kings and priests of God. And of course, they have the prospect of being with God forever in glory. And house not made with hands. Like as I've said in a few words, you know, we look at all our things. We look at our loved ones. We look at all what God has given us, so much bounty and providence. Oh, how he's opened his hand and satisfied all our desires, the desires of every living thing, naturally so, and can you say spiritually? He satisfied thy soul. He blessed thee. Surely what he's done for thee as a most wonderful proof in it that your house is in heaven. You have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The proof is in what God has done for you, what he's done in working in you, what he's done in dealing with you. And there is the wonderful prospect. As we know, we're all drawing nearer and nearer to the swellings of Jordan. How important it is to have this prospect. Oh, how solemn it is if we're living, taking things for granted and in a slothfulness. You know, I would be careful not to wrongly alarm, but you know, none of us know how soon death will come. Are you prepared, friends? Have you been brought to pray, like one put it, oh, prepare my soul for that great day, wash me in the Saviour's blood, take my sins away? We can't enter into heaven if we have any sins unpardoned. We need to know, hear the pardoning voice of God. Oh, hear and know the favours that he communicates to his people, that he seals by the Spirit's favour, that his people are brought to know their Jesus as their crucified Saviour, to know him and to know and believe in him and to hear his voice, whatever he said to thee. Oh, you will want it renewed. You will want the Lord, you'll say to the Lord, speak again. Oh, you want it renewed. The solemnity of eternity and the fast passing of time, and how we are drawing nearer and nearer to that great day, the terrible day of judgment. Oh, how we will be in need to pray. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform. Has God taught you this? You know this. You say to God, you know the truth. Thy Spirit must the work perform. It's all of grace. Oh, there's been in the readings, as we listen to the readings at Studley and at Brighton, usually each morning, and there's been in the readings much solemnly stated where in prayers too, of the importance of being prepared, especially in these times when so many people are dying. So many, many great numbers we hear of day by day, people dying with the terrible virus, the plague that God has sent. People might say, if we mentioned it like that, they think, well, what sort of God is this? But he's a just and righteous God, God is. The true and living God is a just and righteous God, the just and righteous God. And very solemnly we are under his anger. All the countries of the world are. I think whilst we would not want to speculate wrongly or interpret the word of God wrongly, but it does stand out very solemnly, the days we're in now, as is stated in the book of Daniel, a day of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. The Lord knows. But oh, wonderful words there, many shall be purified and made white. Oh, wonders if we're among those. God is dealing with, God is preparing to be with God forever in heaven. Oh, has he been dealing with you? Oh, has he shown you your sin and guilt and convicted and convinced you of it? And me, have we been made to really tremble before God under conviction of sin? And have we been made, brought to so know and acknowledge we are guilty? We deserve the punishment due. Oh, if my soul were sent to hell, God's righteous law approves it well, as he brought you into that understanding of the truth according to the law of God, but as he also wonderfully brought you into the understanding of the wonderful way of salvation, and to be blessed to receive mercy as you sought for mercy. Can you say, I hope I can say it, I mercy sought and mercy found? Have you had to go to God, mercy through blood, I make my plea, O God, be merciful to me? You know how the publican, he smote upon his breast, crying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. God had made him feel his sin, not just to just speak of it and make just by words confession of it, but oh, to feel, and he felt it. As he made you to feel your sin and guilt, to feel to be a guilty sinner who deserves to be cast away. But oh, has God in great mercy come to thee and shown thee the wonderful way of salvation and given thee to be raised to a hope in his mercy, to know and taste redeeming love? This is the only way sinners are saved. No other way. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. God's way, God's saving way, his saving grace. And he works and he so deals with his people to prepare them for what we have already said, a prepared place in heaven. Oh, do you feel the favour, the wonders of what God, your Heavenly Father, has so appointed for you? Do you have hope in the mercy of God through our Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice? Oh, the love of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, are we taught thus these things, the wonders of God's grace, the way God prepares his people for the prepared place in heaven? Oh, these characters, who can agree with the apostle here, who were agreeing with him, the Corinthians. Oh, how it is so sad. We have a building of God. It's all God's doing. It's God's providing. It's God's building, a building of God, how he builds his people up. I think of a word, I just can't think where it is now, but it's one of the epistles. I think it may be James or Jude, but ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, and as in exercise by the grace of God, God enabling you, granting you the graces of the Spirit, building up yourselves. It's not that we can do it ourselves, but we can with the grace of God. We can, if granted God's enabling. We can, as Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. It's the Lord, working to exercise the graces he's given to his people, he gives to his people. And so it is here, the grace of faith. Oh, we have a building of God, a building of God. And house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, a place in glory, a habitation. Oh, and these souls there, the inhabitants of Zion who are washed in the Redeemer's blood, and they have the prospect of being brought safely home through him that loved them and gave himself for them, and to be blessed to be this, having this place in heaven, a place prepared for you, a place in heaven around the throne of God, where there is now and there will be more, the great company of all those that God set his love upon, around the throne of God in heaven, thousands of children stand, children whose sins are all forgiven, a holy, happy band. And so, friends, do you have the forgiveness of sins? Do you know forgiveness of sins? If God has convicted and convinced you of your sin, surely He will in His time bring you to want to know forgiveness, to receive forgiveness, to be blessed, to be a favoured soul, forgiven. You know how the hymn writer takes it up, all His people are forgiven through the virtue of Christ's blood. Opened is the gate of heaven, peace is made twixt man and God. Are you a forgiven sinner? Do you know forgiveness? Have you sought for it? As we are living, friends, and we know that, and if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we know it will be dissolved. We know we shall have to die, and we shall have to leave this world, and we have to leave our all below, our all of natural things. Do you have the favour of the word of God sealed to you? For we know God states very clearly in His word, heaven and earth shall pass away. That means the heavens, as we know it, as we, the skies and so on, but my word shall not pass away. Has He so blessed you to know forgiveness, to know pardon, to know the favours of God's love to you, sealed to you by the Holy Spirit? Have you got your passport for heaven? Are you going on through this wilderness journey with evidences that the Holy Spirit has applied to you, given you, sealed to you, that you are a soul on the road to glory through God's saving grace? Oh, have you got the evidences of this, the assurance of this, the assurance of being home with your Lord in heaven, to be there forever, never, never sin, and from the rivers of His grace drink endless pleasures in? Have you got this prospect? Well, if you've got this, what is time? What is time to you now? If you have such a prospect, a few more days or months or years in this dark desert to comply, a few more sighs, a few more tears, and can you say it personally, I shall bid adieu to pain and be in glory with my Lord? The apostle well knew the prospect. He had assurance of it. He knew and had that desire to be with Christ, which is far better. Oh, the way of the Spirit working to sanctify him and bless him and prepare him, gave him to know and feel this world is not his home. And you know, whilst human nature will cleave to it, yet by the Spirit God's people are given to be able to hold all things in a loose hand and to let go. It's the grace of God that gives a child of God the enabling to let go, to leave this veil of tears and to go home to glory, to be with Christ, which is far better, as we've quoted Paul's word. And house, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Oh, what a favour if we can feel the assurance of it, feel the favour of the blessed hope of this. And the house not made with hands is where God the Father is, and where the Son of God will be, and where the Son of God will be worshipped forever in glory. And when the Son is honoured, the Father's honoured too. It will be forever to the praise of our triune God. And oh, in all this, as we are learning the song here, learning the song day by day, the song of the redeemed, we hope we can say this,
personally, we are learning it. And it's all in praise to Christ, God's beloved Son. He must have the preeminence. It must be to him, to God alone be the glory, great things he's done. Can you say yes for me? Can you say he's done great things for me? Can you testify of him who loved you and gave himself for you? Let us try to consider, friends, the great wonders of God's grace. You know, the building of God, a house not made with hands. Think of the hands of the Son of God. Oh, how those cruel nails pierced his hand. How he was crucified on the cross at Calvary. How he suffered there. How it was as fulfilled, the word was fulfilled, what was given to Moses. Moses was commanded to make a serpent of brass and put it on a pole and lift it up. And oh, if the Son of Man be lifted up, and he was lifted up. He suffered on the cross, the just for the unjust, to bring his people to God. I think of words that were so precious and sealed to my wife's mother. Oh, it was Jesus, my friend, when he hung on the tree, who opened a channel of mercy for me. You know, it is as the Spirit so brings God's people, those God set his love upon, to know these realities of God's way of salvation and of the way God so brings his people to have their hope built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And he is made so precious. You can test your standing, friends, by asking yourself a question. May the Holy Spirit give you to ask it. Oh, what is Christ, the Son of God, to me? Oh, what think you of Christ? Oh, you answer for yourself in this. This confirms your standing. Oh, is he the altogether lovely and the chief among 10,000? As you think of Christ and the preciousness of Christ, your Saviour, you will also think and consider, be meditating upon God's stupendous purpose of love and mercy, God the Father's stupendous gift of his dear Son, and to think that God the Father gave his dear Son to come to this earth, and his dear Son so willingly obeyed and came. And you know, God the Father knew that for the salvation, the redemption, the salvation of the church, he must punish his dear Son for all the sins, the people of God, whom God has set his love upon, that God foreknew they would commit. They had, as it were, in his holy mind committed it. He saw me ruined in the fall, you will say. Love me notwithstanding all. He did. He saw us, friends, before the world was made. Saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me notwithstanding all. He saved me from my lost estate. His loving kindness, oh, how great. Can you say it? Does this statement of fact apply in your case? Did he see you? Do you know he saw you? Do you know he loves you? Do you have the seal of his love to you? The seal of forgiveness, the seal of pardon? Do you have the blessing of the Lord to make his rich? Then surely you have an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Surely it must be so. God will never do his work of grace in his people and leave them to be left at last and not be in heaven with God forever. And a house not made with hands is glory. I think of the words of Rutherford's hymn, glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. This is the blessed prospect of the child of God saved by grace. They have a glorious prospect to be taken home and be with God forever. To know that felicity and joy forever, you know,
Every one of us know what pain is. I've had a lot of pain of late with tooth trouble. And you know, it's nothing when we come to think of Christ. Light our afflictions are when we consider Christ. Like we've read in the word, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not on the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen. For the things which are not seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal. Oh, those wonderful things, eternal prospect, and pleasures evermore in heaven at God's right hand. Oh, wonderful prospect for the people of God. You can understand how God's dear people, as they're being brought toward the end of the journey, they become weary of earth themselves and sin. And they have a prayer then given them of the Spirit. Lord Jesus, set me free and to thy glory take me in. For there I long to be, you know. And it's by the favours that they've tasted of his love here below. These streams on earth I've tasted. And now then there's the blessed prospect of those wonderful streams above, of God's everlasting love. Has it come to you like it did to the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos? Oh, what he said. Have you ever heard anything like it in some little measure? He showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Has he showed you anything of this? Oh, this wonderful river, the river of God's love. And in the solemn days, the sad days, the days of much trouble, like we have in Psalm 46, but there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. There's a river through the road, friends, that makes glad the city of our God. And the river is a river of his holy heavenly love. It is. When the Lord causes this wonderful river to flow. Oh, ew, love like a river flows into the hearts and souls of God's people. And they feel such wonders and the favour. Redeeming love. The great price paid for their redemption. The great terrible sufferings our Lord endured and suffered in body, mind and soul for his people. Oh, how it will melt you and bring you to fall at the foot of the cross. Oh, in wonder and amazement. Why me, O blessed God, why me, who must forever lie in hell? We're not salvation free, but the wonderful favour is that such souls will forever be in heaven, in a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, to be forever with the Lord, to be their home forever. Oh, may we have this prospect sealed to us. May we have it, even a glimpse within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. You know, there are wonderful words in Hebrews. There are some wonderful statements there. Well, all God's word is wonderful, but I think particularly of that wonderful favour the apostle acknowledges to his own people, the Hebrews. He says, he has it in this way, this hope we have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. Oh, may we ever remember this, all what he went through, and then to enter into heaven as our forerunner. And now he has promised he will come again and receive his people unto himself. And he says, and his word shall be proved for all eternity, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, to be with Christ. which is far better forever and ever. Oh, may this be given us as that prospect we have by God's great favour to us, his everlasting love. Oh, his sovereign purpose to bring us there, that we may be there forever, done with this time sake. We won't worry anything at all about what we have to leave of all our all below, because that eternal weight of glory will be such a great, amazing wonder to us in prospect, and then to actually enter into the joy. You know how the Lord speaks in it, enter into the joy of thy Lord. Oh, to hear that word, the word of our beloved, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Come in, thou blessed of my Father. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. That's a prospect, friends. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Seymour will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Wheatley on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 307. And must it, Lord, be so? And must thy children bear such various kinds of woe, such soul-perplexing fear? Are these the blessings we expect? Is this the lot of God's elect? Hymn 307.
Dear Lord, do forgive anything they have seen amiss in our service, or blot out anything one may have spoken wrongly, Lord. Thou knowest, we feel so poor, Lord, but thy word is so blessed. We beg thee be with each of our friends. Lead them on, Lord. Lead us each on. Lead us, Lord, in the way everlasting. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.